The Unruffled Beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynn signals Thursday at 10 p.m. and time for So What's Your Story. We are live and the only show originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling. Right here. Only on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, professor of communication studies at the University of Houston downtown, and welcoming Shannon back to where she belongs. Shannon, I told our listeners about your grandmother. It had to be a difficult week.
It truly was, Hank, but I am so happy that I was able to spend
We heard that fabulous so many story people. About her on New Year's Day. Well, God bless. Well, tonight we include our KPFT Winter Fun Drive, and we're ending it tonight, trying to reach a goal of 300. But you know what? That ain't nothing. I'm going to tell you why. Because I want to thank people like Randy, Mark, Seymour, Brian, Stephanie, Walter, and Ann, who've already given us a jump start before tonight's show even started. And my deepest thanks to each of you. But you know what? They know what all of you know. And that is that So What's Your Story is one of those unique programs in the eclectic inventory here on KPFT. But it's a lot more than that. It's a program that changes the way we think and the way we feel. But I need you to tell us that So What's Your Story, complete with the absorbing narratives and enchanting folktales you look forward to every week, is worth keeping by calling one of our steadfast volunteers at 713-526-5738, and I'm going to thank you on the air unless you tell us otherwise. If you don't do phone, go to kpft.org, and then to donations, tell us how you want to pay, and then scroll to So What's Your Story as the show that you designate for your support. So whether it's online, the phone line, if you're in a lineup, or hell, even if you're just waiting in line and just out of line, give us a call at 713-526-5738, KPFT, and let us know that the only commercial-free radio in Houston, an icon of human expression, is worth protecting. You know, my reason for telling stories is that the story becomes a talking window, an instrument used to determine how listeners enter your life. Depending on the way you tell a story, listeners may come through your window with skepticism or disbelief, and even a little distrust. And when the story is about family, listeners seem to peek inside the window to search for tantalizing clues of optimism and hope, and above all, love. Vinod Hobson knows of these stories, and according to Shannon, who discovered him at the Moth, he tells them with a degree of poignancy and style that you'd expect only from a passionate teller. Vinod is a nonprofit arts administrator and sometimes writer and artist. He has written art reviews for both print magazines and online art blogs, and his performance art has been featured at art venues in town. In 2015, a series of his essays on food and memory, I have to remember to eat tonight, Vinod, will be published in the online journal Covered with Fur. Vinod is a regular at the Moth Houston Story Slams and is known for ignoring the five-minute time limit. Don't we all? He's begun to write haiku as an exercise in brevity. He was born in New Jersey, and he's lived in Houston since 1996. He and his wife maintain a small flock of backyard chickens, and we'll talk about them at length with a little provocation. Okay, Vinod, you've been provoked. But rather than at length, give us a short course about your chickens.
It's lucky you're not giving me a lot of time. I honestly could spend this hour talking about chickens. I will just say briefly that I think chickens are a wonderful pet. They're a great animal. They're the only pets that make breakfast for you.
You live in the Heights?
I don't live in the Heights.
Okay,
I live in Spring Branch.
Because a lot of chickens live in the Heights. You know that?
I know that.
I just wanted to tell you
it's
that,
even more out in Spring Branch.
Right. Yeah. But chickens are great. Yeah.
They're wonderful.
They're very peaceful. My wife likes chickens, and I'm sure she's listening to me right now, Peggy. She loves chickens because chickens somehow brings her warmth and caring, and it kind of reminds you of your childhood going on a field trip. Does that make any sense?
They've got, I grew up in the suburbs, decidedly in the suburbs in New Jersey, and so I'd never seen chickens. In fact, I was quite afraid of animals, of any sort. But, I never thought chickens had personalities, and they do. They have wonderful personalities that are absolutely reflective of people.
They're a beacon of hope.
I hope so.
I just thought I'd share that with you. Yes. Okay, good. And what are you going to do? All right. It's the best I can do late at night. Haiku is a short Japanese poem. Now, without going into specifics, give us a quick, no pun intended, example of haiku.
I've got one, and I tried to put these together to prolong the amount that I could talk about my chickens, and I've got a short haiku about chickens.
Go for it. Good, please. Right.
Chickens can teach you much about the best and worst of human nature.
I like that. Here's mine. The first time telling, even the story seems to need a little time to thaw. Does that make any sense at all?
I think it does.
Not really. I just had to put something together. I had to count the syllables.
70
syllables.
I had to look up
what haiku was. That is so cool. So cool. Now, Shannon told me that you told a very tender story about your uncle at the Moth, and you shared that with me before the show, and I really did appreciate that. You're a wonderful, wonderful family teller. You really are. And you're going to be telling us another story tonight, but I'm just curious, what was the theme that triggered that story about your uncle when you told that story at the Moth?
You know what? I'm not sure I can remember. Yeah. Maybe Shannon remembers. I honestly don't remember
the theme. Yeah, it's all right.
It was last minutes.
Last minutes. Interesting. Great. Because that's very telling.
Thanks
very
for
telling.
Reminding me.
But tonight you're going to tell a story about your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful story.
That story, you know, while it's remembered sort of as a story about my uncle, that story was a story about my mother. And I think that's where all my stories come from, I think. I mean, my very best stories come from my mother.
Yeah.
Or about my mother. She was the great storyteller in my life, and she's the one that had took me down this road.
We look forward to it.
Yeah. Shall I begin?
Please.
In 1992, my mother graduated from nursing school. I was in high school at the time, as were my siblings. She was 44. She was one of the oldest students in her class. She was going back to school after 20 years to do something that she'd started many years before. But she put those plans on hold to raise kids, and she worked constantly, and she did other things. She started businesses and such. And now we were older, and she could leave us alone. And so she went back to school, and we were so very proud of her. To watch her finish that. And it was hard. 20 years out of school was hard for her, and she worked hard. She studied anatomy. She had to get over her fear of needles, the deathly fear of needles. She learned how to poke other people, which is a difficult thing. And even more than that, she learned how to get poked by other people. She had to learn all these strange new Latin words, terminology for diseases and body parts. She learned how to change bandages. She learned how to talk to families, to talk to people in need, in crisis, how to show them love and tenderness. That she didn't have to learn. That came naturally, I think, in a lot of ways, and as it does to so many nurses. And so that was it. And of course, she had to do all of this with a bunch of students who were half her age. So we were proud of her. And she completed that. We helped her with it. We helped her study. We had flashcards, got her through that. It became a sort of project for the whole family to see her through this task. And a few weeks after the classes ended, she went back and sat in the auditorium of the local university and to take her state board exams, and did well on them. And a few weeks after that, the envelope comes in the mail, the test results and her certificate. And we can now officially call her Nurse Hobson. So to celebrate, she packed up all our kids. This was I think the news came on a Thursday. She packed us all up in the Dodge Caravan, grabbed our bathing suits, drove us down the road. We were going to celebrate. And with a bit of a staycation. She drove us to the Holiday Inn. We had taken lots of great vacations, but this was so impromptu. She just checked us into the Holiday Inn. It was springtime in New Jersey, still a little cool, probably like it is now here in Houston. But the Holiday Inn had a heated pool, and it had a hot tub, and it had HBO. We didn't have cable at home, so this was going to be a real treat. And so we spent all day. She took us out of school. We had a day off from school, and we spent all day in the hotel room. We watched TV, and we told jokes, and we laughed. And we went down to the pool, and we went in the hot tub. And went in the sauna. We had just lots of fun doing stuff that, you know, she sort of never let us do before. She let us jump on the beds. We were doing all sorts of things. And, you know, we just laughed. We laughed so much. And I love my mother's laugh. My mother has this laugh that is sincere, and she laughs with this sort of abandon that is infectious. And so when she laughs, you have to laugh along with her. And that laughter was the soundtrack for the day. It was the music of the moment, this moment of optimism and promise and potential. And it gave us a chance to think about all the wonderful things that laid ahead of us. My mother was going to be getting a job. She'd be paid well. We were all young. We're teenagers. We have a sense of immortality. We're about to leave high school and go on to adulthood and big things. We're all feeling wonderful. That night, we're tired after a full day of fun. We ate at the hotel restaurant, and this being New Jersey, the hotel restaurant was this wonderful old Jewish delicatessen, the kind of delicatessen that serves those giant tall sandwiches, you know, half a pound of corned beef or pastrami or tongue. Tongue was always my favorite. And they give it to you, this giant pile of meat with just a couple of slices of very good rye bread and a little pot of mustard. And they had an all-you-could-eat pickle bar. It was so wonderful. And these cakes that would be 7 or 8 layers tall. It was wonderful. And we ate it all of us. We stuffed ourselves. My mother had what she always got. She always got a big bowl of matzo ball soup with these two giant matzo balls, baseball-sized matzo balls, in this beautiful golden broth, and it was rich and comforting and a great way to celebrate. My mouth's watering even just talking about this. I haven't eaten dinner yet. Back in the room, we're getting ready for bed. We're all change into our pajamas. We're all sort of splayed out across the room. Some of us across the bed, some of us sitting in chairs, some of us sitting on the floor. We're talking and we're laughing more. TV's on, lights are off. We're all by ourselves in the corner of the hotel. We've got a hotel room all the way down at the end of the hallway, as far from the lobby as we could get. That way we could make noise. This was a celebration after all. We all start to fall asleep. It's tired. We're all tired, and we start to sort of doze. We start to pass out. As we start to fall asleep, my mother shakes us. She wakes us up. She says, "Don't go to sleep yet. Let's stay awake a little longer. Just tell me a joke. Tell me a story." We tell a story, and someone else would doze, and she'd shake them. She'd shake my sister and say, "Well, wake up. I'm going to tell you a story." And she would tell us a story, and we'd laugh, and we'd wake up for a bit. And we spent the whole evening this way, just sitting around the room, sort of in this half-day's sleep, lights off, just by the flicker of the TV screen, telling stories and laughing. Went on all night. In the morning, dawn comes, the light just starts to push in around the edges of the blinds. Blinds are down, but it just starts to come, just starts to peek in. My mother gets up. She's sitting on the floor. She says, "Here, help me get up. I have to go to the bathroom." I help her up. She goes to the bathroom, and us kids are stretching out. We're stretching. We're rubbing our eyes. We're tired, but it was such a fun night. And she comes out of the bathroom. She sits on the edge of the bed, and now the room's got a little more light in it, and I can see that she looks a little pale, and for the first time she looks actually quite serious. And she says, all of a sudden, very seriously, "Call 911. I think I'm having a heart attack." And that put the brakes on immediately. And she was serious, and she'd actually been feeling this all night, probably sometime around eating that second matzo ball. She'd started feeling the tightness in her chest, and that's why she wouldn't let us go to sleep. And she wanted to suck as much out of the evening with us as she could. And the next couple of minutes were rough. There was a lot of action. The room was full of people, a stretcher, and she was taken off and put on oxygen. And there was so many changes ahead of us. In the end, it worked out well. But there certainly were changes in the plans that we had had. We went, all of a sudden, from a lot of optimism to a lot of uncertainty.
That's a beautiful story.
Thank you.
You know, and watching you, you know, good storytellers tell stories as if it's the first time they tell them. You know what I mean? And you gave me a synthesis of that story earlier, and you told that story as if you had told it for the first time, and I know you've told it so many times. What a beautiful sense of meaning of words. You know, you talk about laughter as being the soundtrack of the day. That's one of the best expressions I've ever heard, Vinod. It really is.
Thank you.
That's a beautiful, beautiful expression. It's not as expressive, however, as phones not ringing. Do we have any phones ringing out there? Oh, we do. Oh, my God.
We do.
Well, okay, you're going to tell me about it in just a moment. Just a moment. Because you are enjoying my guest storyteller, Vinod Hobson. I'm Hank Rubicek with Shannon McKerchie working the boards on this final night of our winter drive on So What's Your Story? Only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston, or kpft.org if you're listening online. But I am thrilled that you've tuned in, and if you like what we do, then please give us a call, and a few people are, at 713-526-5738, KPFT, and give all the essential information to those volunteers who are waiting just for you. And I'm pretty excited. What do we have to thank, Shannon?
We have Jim to thank. Thank you, Jim, out there.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
You're very, very generous pledge.
I'm sure. Oh, my gosh. That's so beautiful. So we had some pre-pledges. We've got Jim calling in. I want everybody else to do that because it's 713-526-5738. If you're in the neighborhood, we're at 419 Lovett. I'll even tell you a story. How's that? KPFT is a station like no other on the dial. You know, we're about programs that get you involved, the kind that promotes and support our community here at KPFT. And so what's your story? Well, we're about stories so raw and so real that they are nothing short of hypnotizing, and Vinod illustrates that. It's always live, week in and week out. Don't take my word for it. Just go to our archives on demand and listen for yourself. And you know, the ringing of the phone is be really a great story right now. Wouldn't it be? Yeah, it will be. 713-526-5738, Jam KPFT. Don't think someone else is going to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. You know how that works. Better still, become a KPFT member for $40 a year. That is 10 cups of coffee, approximately, or maybe 5 lattes. We'll even bill you $3.34 a month. That's 11 cents a day, folks. You can find that in the cracks of your sofa. Can anybody say cheap? Or go to kpft.org, then to donations, choose a form of payment, scroll to So What's Your Story, and we're going to live happily ever after. Vinod, you know, the revival of storytelling can produce so many good things. You know that because you're a story lover, just like so many of us. And just in a few words, what are a few things that come to mind?
From storytelling? I think that they're important. I mean, I'm a humanist, fundamentally, and I think that to understand other people, that's what this station is about, actually. KPFT is the most humane of media outlets in the city. I think we
can
certainly say that. Pacifica in general.
Yeah.
So this is a station, and public radio is in general, KPFT in particular, is about telling stories and telling the stories that other people aren't telling and giving platforms for people to tell stories.
Yeah.
And this is a really unique, this radio program right here is very unique.
Well,
what you have here, Hank.
Thank you.
It gives a great platform. Storytelling, I know the Storytelling Guild has been around for a long time, but you know, I came to storytelling through The Moth, which has only been around for just over a year. That's a great platform. This is a great platform. And you know, I actually didn't know about this until Shannon had talked to me.
We used to be an open journal for a lot of years, and people said, you know what? We want more. We want it every week, and we got it. Yeah.
It's great. This is about community. I mean, I talked about chickens earlier. Chickens are all about community. They have their own community. KPFT has a community here. And, you know, if the listeners here are part of that community, and you know, part of doing community is fulfilling the social contract that you have to contribute to the community. So
beautifully said. Absolutely. Beautifully said. You know, and that we talk about the different venues of storytelling. We've been around for a lot of years, and we've been doing this every week for 2.5 years. And before that, we've been doing it for 5 years as an open journal. But, you know, you mentioned the Storytellers Guild. There's really no greater ambassador to storytellers, storytelling in the city, at least, than our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild, which is hands down really the best storytelling group in the the state. We hold monthly story swaps on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Multi-Service Center at 1475 West Gray. Check out our brand new site at www.houstonstorytellers.org. And while you're there, click on radio program and listen to the some 110 incredible So What's Your Stories in the Past. Yeah, it's a lot of work. And visit our Facebook page because you're going to find Shannon's brilliance peppered throughout. And what are we going to find there, Shannon?
Well, you're going to find information about our storytellers each week and information about our closing of our fun drive and storytelling events all around the city, as well as much, much more.
I know, and you do such a super job with that. Thank you, Shannon. And like us on the way out. You are listening to an example of why this program rocks. My guest teller, Vinod Hobson, on So What's Your Story, always live and only on KPFT 90.1 Houston. Next week, our guest is going to be Dr. Rochelle Duty, another one of Shannon's finds. Shannon, tell us a little bit about her. What are your impressions of her style? You said she's a great teller.
Very interesting. She had some great insights, and it just wraps you in. She was speaking about her son, and it had such great depth and
humor.
So
many of these family stories, And, you know, I don't want to give the impression that the show is only about family stories. We have great Irish folk tellers on. We have comedians on. We've got just really a whole plethora, a whole kaleidoscope of great, great storytellers. And, you know, we have a lot of great professional tellers on, and they're all terrific. Some people think they're the best around. But, you know, it's really about the people who just have a story to tell. Normal folks, people who have stories to tell, who tell these unbelievable stories about their family, like Vinod and like Rochelle and the dozens of others that we've had throughout the last couple of years. And she's going to be exciting because what we do is really put the spotlight on soul-inspiring tellers who take us on astounding journeys and then return us safely to the present. That's what we're all about on So What's Your Story. Having a story to tell isn't just important, it's essential. And you already know that, and that's because when I started this show, again, as I said, a few years back, as an open journal, so many of you wrote in and said, Hank, you know what? Once a month isn't enough. We want it every week. Well, that's done. But we got to keep it that way. So please give us a call at 713-526-5735. Okay, so what's the perfect food to help maintain memory? We all want to know that one.
I can't help you with that. When I talk about writing essays about food and memory, what I'm really interested in is about how food can trigger memory and tell stories. It's about triggering. It actually comes back to stories.
It's about
eating a chicken dinner and thinking about being at your grandmother's house.
Okay, so there's no real scientific connection there. I was really reading into that, right? I was thinking about something else.
Somebody's got that sort of thing, then they're doing it, and they're going to do it a lot better than I can do it.
But you know what? Food does instill so many memories. Yeah, it does. I can think of a lot of stories about food. Food is important. You know, it's underestimated, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you saw how much time I spent talking about the matzo balls in my story.
Yeah, I know. They sounded like my grandmother's. You could throw them against the wall. But, you know, most of the time, Gentiles cannot digest those. So you're actually very lucky because, you know, did you know that?
I spent so much time growing up in
New Jersey.
I went to a lot of Seders.
Well, it's either a deli or it's a diner, right? It's one of the two in New Jersey. So yeah, I'm sure that you've got it in you. You've got it in you.
After that, absolutely.
My first year in college, I remember for some reason I couldn't get home for Thanksgiving, and my roommate and another friend of mine down the hall, we went to a friend's house for Thanksgiving. It was very nice for him to invite us. He was right out of the Great Gatsby, you know, very white, very much a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. I'm Jewish. My African-American friend came and my Italian friend, and they came out with a loaf of Wonder Bread and ham and a Jell-O mold. And we looked at each other saying, people eat this? You know, it was just that was my quick story about food. But what are you going to do, right? Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Now, other than that, you know, you were raised in a storytelling environment. You told me a little bit about that. You were raised in a storytelling environment. Have you got any favorite stories or favorite storytellers or authors that you want to list for?
I think there's two that I really need to talk about. And one is a writer about food. I'm madly in love with MFK Fisher. She's a memoirist who's writing in the 40s. It's exactly that. It's her life told about
it. I thought you were going to say, you know, the Colonel or something. Thank goodness it's a legitimate.
MFK Fisher, she's absolutely wonderful. I have to recommend it. She's an essayist. And Lydia Davis, I have to tell you, we were talking about brevity early, and Lydia Davis is able to tell a story in her new book in as short as 3 sentences, half a page or less. One sentence. She has stories in there that are one sentence long, and they're wonderful.
Wow. Unbelievable. Speaking about one sentence long, is there one word out there like we have a caller? Actually, that's 4 words. Anybody out there?
Well, we just got a new caller.
All right, who?
That remains to be seen.
All right, well, bring that person
in.
I'm going to say a few words, and then we're going to get back to that. Thanks. My goodness, that's great. You know, those windows to which I referred at the opening of the program are what you're paying for. Because when these windows open, human minds and hearts are connected. Through this connection, each of us becomes a part of something greater than we can achieve alone. John Steinbeck wrote, "We are all lonesome animals. We spend all our life trying to be less lonesome. One of our ancient methods is to tell a story, begging the listener to say and to feel, yes, that's the way it is, or at least that's the way I feel it. You're not as alone as you thought." A story does become a talking window, and as I see it, people who keep others from coming through their window are keeping great gifts from themselves. There was a story about a farmer who had so many beautiful crops that he'd set traps for all the animals whom he feared would destroy them. The birds and the squirrels and raccoons never came. The farmer thought himself successful until one day he realized how terribly lonely he was. So he walked out to the middle of his field and held out his arms to welcome the animals. No creature came, for they all feared the farmer's new scarecrow. Let down your arms, my friends, and let others in through the power of your stories. We are almost out of time, but a lot can happen in 90.1 seconds. So give us a call at 713-526-5738. And who gave us a call, Shannon?
It was an anonymous donor.
Anonymous. I love anonymous. You know, I don't know who they are. Who's that? You know, what? You know, Charlie Manson? I mean, who
I really can't tell you.
All right. Okay. All right. We'll find out later. Unbelievable.
You were wearing a Guy Fawkes
mask. What a beautiful, beautiful thought. The magical merger of heart and soul done with words and gesture. We need that as much as we can get. And tell me you agree at 713-526-5738. We're just about out of time. And Vinod, thank you so much for your storytelling style, laced with insight and tender reflection. You know, even though I thought about that before you came in, boy, that fits beautifully. It really does. And being a great sport for being on a fun drive night on KPFT. We want you back. We definitely want you back. But we want you to stay exactly where you are because Scooter is up next with the Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Please make 90.1 a part of every day. And while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And then we want you to ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. I'm Dr. Hank reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
KPFT, Houston.